another inspiration from Ken Park at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center. We encourage you to prepare your heart, mind, and soul for a time of reflection, learning, and prayer. If you have any questions, or if you're just looking to chat, check out our website, churchatthecenter.com. And now, here's Ken.
Have you felt as if your heart or soul's fire has gone out due to pandemic or life stresses or life itself? Are you ready to reignite? Have you wondered about relationships that you have, feeling distanced from people, wondering whether it's them or you, felt estranged? Are you ready to re-engage? Have you felt as if you've laughed less? Your creativity has been sapped? Have you felt as if you had less drive? Have you desired to have re-creativity to help you in these challenging times, to restore your edge, your joy? Well, you've come to the right place. We're beginning the re-campaign to reignite, to re-engage, to recreatively establish ourselves in these challenging times. Over these next 3 weeks, this is going to be the re-conversation. As we begin this conversation, I hope that you'll be inspired by these perhaps familiar words.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Let me tell you a true story. Once upon a time, amongst the cedars of a wood, there lived a family of gophers. There lived a clan of hyenas, a parliament of owls. There was a streak of tigers and a convocation of eagles. They lived together harmoniously in the woods and accepted each other's different personality traits. You see, the gophers like to dig deep into the earth, and the hyenas like to laugh and to come alongside the other animals. The owls like to perch in their trees and watch everything that was going on. The tigers like to growl in aggression, and the eagles would fly high in the sky and come to perch on the highest parts of the trees. They lived together in community, and all of a sudden, there was lions that moved in. Pride of lions came in to consume the animals that lived in that forest. So all of the animals got together and they had their appointed officials to come and share their strategies with respect to the lions. First, the gopher representative said, "We're going to burrow deep within the ground and to keep tracks on how the forest had been, avoid the lions, and when this is all over, we'll come back out of hiding. We, the gophers, will hide." The hyenas laughed at them, and they said, "Oh, we're going to live with the lions. We're going to eat what they have left over. We're going to get along with them as best we can. And we're going to abide with the lions." The owl representative up in the tree looked around from side to side and moved his head and said, "We have been observing all that the animals are doing. We observe what you do and we know what's right and what's wrong. With respect to the lions, we'll be right." The tigers growled and they said, "None of you know what you're doing. Don't you know? What you need to do is fight. We're going to fight and defeat these lions. We'll fight." And the eagles, flying high in the sky, their representative landed and said, "Well, not all of you can do this, but we're going to fly on the thermals above that which the lions are doing. We'll take flight." The animals then began to debate with each other which was best, to hide or abide, to fight, to be right, or to take flight. And as the gophers and hyenas and owls and tigers and eagles debated amongst themselves, the lions returned. Let me pause my story at that point. We'll come back to it. This is a true story. It's happened many times in history. Keep this story in mind as we reignite the fire of your heart and soul, as we reignite your soul's identity, love, self-worth, and care. As we dig into this reignition, it's like a match. With a match, of course, there's three things that are required represented in the match. There's fuel, there's oxygen required, and there's action, the striking of the match. So let's start off as we have this conversation about reignition, about the fuel. This morning, as we think about our conversation of reignition, we're going to turn to the Bible. The Bible is an incredible source of fuel, of human ignition and reignition. In its simple expression, in the sheer volume of human history that it has within its pages, over 2,500 years, over 3,200 people by name are mentioned in this book, this collection of books, actually. You can go to Bible.com. You can go to YouVersion, all one word, or Bible Gateway, or if you have the book with you, you can turn and we'll share with you the texts as they come up. If you're sitting with a group of people, your family or others, every one of you, I encourage, should have a Bible. As you're getting your Bible or finding it on your electronic device, let me share with you some good news. You see, you have already been ignited. It's called birth, life, essence. And in a conversation I was having this summer with a few of our leaders, you are already physiologically burning calories, like 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day. And as we continued our conversation this summer, we discussed how that concept of burning calories could be translated to seek to understand how many spiritual calories we need. And what is the requirement for a person's relational caloric content or their intellectual caloric content? Give that some thought. But the truth is, you have been ignited already. If you're hearing and understanding these words, you're ignited. But the challenge is not in that we are already ignited. The challenge is to be reignited. What is reignition? What does it mean to be reignited? An indication that you have been reignited. Well, let's consider this. If you have an enduring smile, if you have a wellness of soul, if you have contentment or satisfaction, if you have affirmed identity, fullness, a deep fullness inside you, a sense that you're okay, you're buoyant on life's sea. That's reignition. Reignition, you could say, is a lit pilot light in the furnace of your soul. Every furnace needs a pilot light to burn in order to ignite and to keep you warm. I promise you today that you can have the pilot light of your soul in your heart, the furnace of who you are, relit if it's gone out. So I wanted to today look at a few, when we think about fuel, look at a few pinnacle texts from the Bible. If you want to, you can turn in the Bible to Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. As you're turning in the Bible, it's the second book of the Bible. And we're going to talk about our first story of reignition. This is the scene. In Exodus 34:29, we catch up with Moses. Moses as the brilliant statesman, leader, rescuer, president, teacher, shepherd, prophet, law-giving, and judge. This man cannot be overestimated. He has enabled, he has followed God's lead in leading his people, the Israelites, out of their enslavement in Egypt. And he, and 2 million people perhaps, they don't quite know how many there were, but could be up to 2 million people, Israelites, freed slaves, were in the Sinai Peninsula. It's the peninsula, you can see it on a map, between present-day Israel and Egypt, across from Saudi Arabia. When you look at this triangular piece of land in Mount Sinai, this is where in the Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai is there. And Moses is up on Mount Sinai. He's been there for 40 days. He's hearing from God. And he's going to come down and talk to the people. Here's how it went.
When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Exodus 34:29-35.
Time with God had reignited Moses. And though the people were afraid of what he looked like because it was so glorious, he shared God's love through the law. What can we learn about reignition? Well, reignition comes in covenant with God. When we think of this being in covenant with God, well, the best way to seek to understand that further is to look at our second story about reignition. If you go to the 12th book of the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, this is 600 years after Moses received the law. It's 843 BC. And Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in ancient Israel. Elijah, as a prophet, was a person who spoke God's word to people and spoke the people's word to God. We really don't have that position really anymore in most of our countries around the world, most of our political systems. But the ancient prophets heard from God. They spoke to God about the people and spoke to the people about God. Elijah, he had been God's truth speaker in the ancient countries of Israel and Judah. He had a fantastic career as a prophet. He'd taken on kings and queens and spoke for God, challenged other false prophets. And his protege, Elisha, I don't know how that works out in the Bible. He, Elijah, his protege, Elisha, perhaps it's God's sense of humor. But with very little warning, this happens.
As Elijah and Elisha were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:11.
Obedience to God had ignited Elijah's life, then Elisha's life. They delivered God's message through droughts and famines and war and political conflict. He sometimes having a price on his head, Elijah that is, and then he's taken up into heaven in a fiery whirlwind. Incredible. From this brilliant moment that we read about, what can we learn? Well, reignition comes through obedience. Elijah was hated by those in power who had actually vowed to kill him, as I noted. He shared the truth from God to the people, and God took him to heaven in a chariot of fire. Hold on to that image. Reignition comes through obedience. How do these accounts relate to one another? How would you say these can reignite your identity, love, care, and self-worth? Well, let me share one more account, and then we'll come to an application. This is in Matthew 17. It's the first book of the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. Matthew 17, when we turn to Matthew 17, it is an incredible story that will bring the first two stories together. It's the summer of 30 AD in the Roman province of Judea, and Jesus continues to teach his disciples, and then he takes four of his disciples with him. Sorry, three of his disciples with him, and this is how it happens.
Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves to pray. As he was praying, he was transfigured before them. The appearance of his face changed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white, as bright as a flash of lightning, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. A bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, whom I have chosen. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Matthew 17:1, Mark 9:2, Luke 9:28.
What can we learn from this? Well, reignition comes in covenant with God, through obedience, in relationship with Jesus. And this event, this is an incredibly strange event with seven participants. There are three men, Peter, James, and John. There's two resurrected saints, Elijah and Moses. There is one God's Son incarnate, Jesus Christ, and there is a voice from heaven, a voice of affirmation, and brilliant light. Brilliant light. We call this transfiguration, but we could call it today reignition. What do these three mean? How can you be reignited? Well, I'd like to consider one text of application, and then we'll come to some conclusion. When we think of the New Testament as they sought to apply the brilliant truth of God's Word, the 11th book of the New Testament, about three-quarters of the way through the Bible, is Philippians. If you'll turn to Philippians 2, verse 12, it tells us, as Paul writes to his friends at Philippi, he is a traveler, a leader, a church founder, and he writes this and puts this into perspective that we can understand.
"My dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life." Philippians 2:12-16.
So what can we learn from this fuel of God's word? Well, reignition comes in covenant with God. Reignition comes through obedience and in relationship to Jesus, and reignition proves itself as God's light shines through us to others. That's what some of what the Bible says about reignition. So do you feel ready to be reignited? Have you felt that the fire of your soul, the fire of your heart has gone out due to pandemic, estranged relationships, stresses, worries over things that are beyond your control? Has life taken the fire out of your heart or soul? God can. He wants to. He's willing to. He's willing to reignite you. Let's give us some perspective before we turn to the oxygen of our reignition. We're in the midst of a pervasive, prevailing, moderate to mild global pandemic. Let me just share from the CDC. The Pandemic Severity Index ranks COVID-19 8 out of 20 of the pandemics that have happened in the last 2,000 years. As of recording today, there have been 240 million cases of COVID-19. There have been 217 million cases that are now recovered, which tells us that there's a 90.5% recovery rate from COVID-19. Sadly, tragically, a little over 4.8 million people have died from COVID-19, which tells us that it's a little over a 2% fatality rate of COVID-19. There have been three or four waves, depending upon where you live in the world, and it's impacted us over 23 months. And with 8 billion human beings on the planet, it's impacted about 3% of the world's population in that time. Studies have determined that about 13 to 18% have significant symptoms. Now, so we don't get bogged down in pandemic potholes, choose any widespread issue that you feel is on your heart or mind. Globalism, economic disparity, migration, climate change. Of all the things that impact us in this world, there are many. But when we think of that which we feel most threatened by or most worried about, as human beings, when we're threatened, we respond in five ways, among others. We hide, we abide, we fight, we act like we're right, and we take flight. Which, these are also mirrored in our reactions or our response to grief, denial, bargaining, anger, depression, acceptance. Just take a moment. Who do you know has responded to COVID-19 in one of these ways? Or better yet, how have you responded predominantly to COVID-19? Like a gopher? Like a hyena? Like an owl? Have you responded like a tiger? Have you responded like an eagle? Regardless of which one you would think that is the response predominant to you, let's consider the oxygen of reignition. There are five profound truths. Five profound truths in our present reality. There are real threats. There are real lions in our world. Lions of disease, environmental loss, economic failure, political collapse, and so on. But every human being without a guardian, a mature adult, you could say, has the right to respond and to bear the consequences of that response. Furthermore, every response that is given to a certain issue is exercised in the context of a healthy society, ideally, certainly in Canada, eclipsed by some definition of individual and communal health and adaptation. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that's what creates our debate. And in a free, democratic society, the best outcome is determined through the responses we have. In fact, perhaps it takes all types of responses and interaction for individual adaptation, optimization, and a truly healthy society. When we think about this, we certainly can't help but quote a foundational document of Canada. I hope this helps to reignite you, especially if Canadian, because this is what it says. Canada is founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees the fundamental freedoms of freedom of conscience and religion, of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, freedom of peaceful assembly, and freedom of association, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law that can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. It's from the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that we live under in Canada. What does it tell us? You're free. You're free to be a gopher or a hyena or an owl or a tiger or an eagle. You're free. In fact, the very biblical foundation, knowing that we have said that Canada is founded on principles that recognize the supremacy of God. So the principle, in part, that it's founded on is found in Galatians 5:13 and 1 Peter 2. It tells us this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." That's the sinful nature, the natural man or woman. "But serve one another humbly in love. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live, rather, as God's slaves." You're free. So there's some implications of the fuel and the oxygen and the heat. The heat is the action that you need to consider doing in order to be reignited. You have the resources to be reignited. God desires for you to be reignited or for you to burn even brighter than you are now. So here's the striking of the match. Here's the action. Here's the heat. Let me suggest these things, these five things in order to be reignited. Number one, the first thing that's important for us to do is to identify the wind or the force which has taken away our flame, or the intensity of our flame, causing it to wane. What is that force been that has reduced our heat and our light? Has it been the environment? Has it been economics? Has it been pandemic? Has it been your health? Identify the wind that has blown on your light. Number two, consider three ways that that wind continues to blow. Maybe it's in the watching of the news. Maybe it's listening to a biased source which you know deep inside of you that it's not giving you the whole truth. Maybe it's allowing your emotions to run amok. Perhaps it's refusing to hear others' points of view. Maybe it's waiting for a test result. Think of the three ways that the wind that reduces your flame is blowing on you. And number three, acknowledge your response. Acknowledge your response before God. Have you been a gopher that's decided to hide? A hyena that's laughed and said, "I'll abide, I'll live with it"? An owl that said, "I'm right"? A tiger ready to fight? An eagle that's taken flight? Or some combination of that? Know this: as human beings, in love, as Jesus directed us, we have the calling to accept each other's responses, which their responses seemingly natural to them, and to extend grace across these different responses. And most of all, number five, believe this: God ignited you first. He gave you life. He can and He wants to reignite you in covenant, it's a healthy relationship with Him, in obedience, following His next step for your life, knowing His Son, and through that He wants you, He desires you, He intends for you to shine. He intends to ignite you and give you give you eternal life. Reminds me of the song we would sing, many of us as children: "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." That song that talks about the fact that we do have a light, we do have heat, for Jesus has ignited us. But you know, All of this humble yielding, seeking the Lord, it requires you turning on your fuel, your gas, to be willing to adapt to burn for Him. None of this works if you cross your arms or furrow your brow, dig in your heels, or grit your teeth. You have to turn on the fuel of your life to be reignited regardless of where you are. If you want to go deeper with this, certainly on Thursday we'll speak about this parable. Jesus spoke about the bridesmaids waiting to be lit up so that they could have their oil ignited before the great wedding feast. We'll speak about that. You can consider that this week. I'll pray in a moment for our reignition. But before I do so, here's some ways that you can turn on your gas. Read the Bible. Read the Bible or join a group of people that are reading it together or following a devotional guide together. Read it. If you want to speak with me about a plan that you can do so, feel free to. Number two, pray, reflect, journal on what we've spoken about today, and let your mind flow with reignited ideas of God's love for you. If you want to join us Wednesday, as I noted, for our prayer meeting at 9:50, but know this for sure, you can adapt. You can be reignited, for sure. Part of that happens when we spend time with each other. You can do that at 7:30 on Thursday. We are going to be reignited and have this conversation at the Reach. Next week, we're going to talk about re-engaging. Before we go, let's pray together. Let's pray about being reignited. God, we thank you for our birth dates. We thank you for the time in which you ignited us the very first. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us life and through our lives the opportunity to know your Son, who is the light. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, an opportunity we've had before to know the light. We pray, Lord God, for those of us that feel like our pilot light of the furnace of our soul and our heart. If we feel that it's gone out, we ask you, God, to reignite us. Show us how to be lights for you, to burn for you. Give us a hunger to read your word and to live righteously for you. In these dark times, we want to be light for you. So reignite us, God. Reignite us in you so that we know your covenant, so that we're obedient to you, so that we know Jesus as we walk alongside of life with him, and that we shine for you. Ignite us today, have us burn brighter for you, and join us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed our first conversation. We desired that you would be reignited. You can be in touch with me through our website or by texting or email. And now as you go, be inspired by these words.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thanks for listening to this inspiration from Ken Park. For more information, visit our website, churchatthecenter.com. God bless.